Hallelujah. I'm excited.
Amen.
I'm excited. Excited to teach what the Lord has put into our heart to teach. Excited to share with the body those things which I believe the Holy Spirit wants to bring out of us. We've been talking about glory. Say glory.
Glory.
Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Just say glory. Sometimes you can sense it, can't you? Just to say it, the glory of God. By the way, Kim, you're a quick study. I'll watch you. You really got into that. Praise God. You're good. All of you. You're looking good. You're looking like you wanted to dance. Have you ever done that dance before? Never had. Well, you did good on the steps. You do some Hebraic dancing, don't you? Yeah. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. So we said we're going to move off of the series titled The Glory of the Lord, and we're moving into a new title called The Grace of God. Nothing catchy about it except that grace may be the most powerful word, the most powerful Bible word there is, other than the name Yeshua, other than the name of God Himself. Grace. Say grace.
Grace.
Grace. Grace. We talked a little bit about it last week, and we said that grace in Hebrew is charis. You'd spell it C-H-A-R-I-S. Charis. Gift, on the other hand, is charisma. There's a connection, do you see? Now, in the Hebrew, the Hebrew word for grace is chen. Chen. And we would kind of transliterate that C-H-E-N, but you don't say the C-H like English people do. You say it with a back here. Chen. And, the expanded word is hanan. Hanan, grace. Grace. But what is grace? Well, we've talked about grace, and the generic term that always comes out is the unmerited favor of God, and it is. But so much more. It's like shalom. Shalom is peace. But shalom is so much more than peace. When God said He would keep us in perfect peace, He actually said the root of that word twice. Shalom, shalom, or shalem, shalom. Because it means the same thing. Perfect. Perfect. Peace is perfect. The shalom, nothing missing, nothing broken. But as we talk about the grace of God, so many times we get the idea, well, how is it you said that this morning, Jonathan? The grace...
Grace of God is the power to do what is right. It's not a license.
It's the power to do
what is right.
What is right, not the license to sin. Be honest, how many of you have kind of got the idea from some of the stuff you've heard through the years that maybe grace was, you know, that thing that let us sin, allowed us to sin? Well, it is true that without grace, sinners would be lost. So it does have that within it, but yet it's not a license to sin. What we're trying to do as we talk about grace is fill it in the way that it functions. If you can begin to see what grace can do on the inside of you, what it will do in you and for you, it's mighty. Grace can make you what God says you are. Grace will make you what God says you are. But to do this, we've started along a little bit different tack. You have to move through these things a little bit so that you can begin to see it. And I want to start in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 today. 1 Corinthians 12. And verse 12. I'm going to read a few verses. We spent a little more time on this last week talking about the body. How many people would like a Bible? You put your hand in the air, Jonathan will see to it you get a Bible. I'm going to begin to read. The Bibles are coming. For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Verse 13. For by one Spirit are we all, this is King James Version now, by one Spirit are we all baptized. I'm going to change that to immersed. It's a very unfortunate thing that word never got translated out of the Greek. Because in the Greek it means just exactly what I'm saying, but when it comes to us and is anglicized, and that's just exactly what happened. It went through the Anglican Church, went through King James, it had a different meaning. They left it untranslated so they could sprinkle. The Catholic Church was sprinkling. The word doesn't mean sprinkle, has nothing to do with sprinkle. When God wants you to know something about the sprinkling of the blood, He calls it sprinkling. When He wants you to know about immersion, He calls it immersion. And so we're going to change it. For by one Spirit we are all immersed into one body. Another word that is translated out of that same word is fit, or fit into. We're fit into. By one Spirit we're all fit into one body. That's what happened to us at the new birth. In fact, that's the picture of the new birth right there. We've been fit into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be those that are of the Jewish group, which would be all of the 12 tribes. At least that's the way it was. Or whether we're Gentiles, because by the time this was written, the Gentiles were also including 10 missing tribes that had been assimilated. The Hebrew word for that is the goyim, the goy. Whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. What's that a picture of, drinking in the Spirit? We were doing some drinking around here this morning, weren't we? Weren't we drinking? We were drinking this morning. There was some drinking going on as we were worshiping God. But it includes being immersed into the Holy Spirit, being baptized in the Holy Spirit of God, being infilled with the Spirit of God. And it says we've all been immersed into one body, but we've also been made to drink in the Spirit, or immersed in the Holy Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. And boy, you can look around here this morning and you see variety. You see variety, and it's good. It's good. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, am I not? I am it, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? How many of you know you've got some parts in your body that are very little, small parts? Very small parts, but if one of them goes haywire, it can cause a lot of problems. Right? And you even think it's beautiful. You ever have an organ quit working? Strange little organ, a little kidney, strange looking little thing. Quits working, you're in trouble, aren't you? Your pancreas quits working, you're in trouble. Your liver quits working, you're in trouble. Little things, not so pretty to look on, right? But are they valuable? How many of you are glad for fingernails? Yes. Aren't they valuable?
Yes.
Praise God. Now, some women spend a lot of time on them, you know? I chop mine off when I have to. But I'm thankful for them. Glad for those things. Glad for little things. They don't seem important, but all are valuable. Say valuable.
Valuable.
All are important. Now, the Bible says this is the way the physical body is, but the body of Messiah is like it. Made up of a lot of different parts. Some of them don't show as well as others. Isn't that right? Some of them have ministries that don't require being seen as much as others, right? And yet, are they valuable?
Yes.
Are you a member?
Yes.
Say, I'm valuable.
I'm valuable.
Say, I'm precious.
I'm precious.
Now, that's not pride. That's a fact. That's the way God sees you. Valuable and precious. Amen? You're valuable and precious. Here's our text for this teaching. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased Him. Verse 18. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased Him. Read it with me. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased Him. Who did the setting? Why did He set us that way? It pleased Him. Do you have a place?
Yes.
Is your place important? I believe this is one of the most important things we can find out, is the place where we fit. A lot of people, in fact, I'm going to say millions in the body, don't really know where they fit. There's not been a lot of teaching. I mean, there's been teaching, but there's been this kind of thing that, all, you know, we always want to get into some kind of a little scientific survey that you can take. Have you ever noticed that? You take a survey and it shows you your gifts and your strengths and your weaknesses and all those things. And how many have been through those surveys? How many have done anything with what you found out? A couple. Not very many, but there are a few that will. I'm not saying they're worthless. I'm just saying that by and large, most people go through them and come right out the other end and nothing changes. Now, one of the problems is that we always want to try, if we can, to set everything up so that somebody's controlling it. Well, I can't do anything unless the pastor tells me to. Now, there's wisdom in that, and yet there is a bondage in that. Do you understand what I'm saying? In this body, I have been set as a pastor, a shepherd. Now, I don't know if you know it or not, but the shepherd is not on the sheep all the time. He watches the sheep, doesn't he? The sheep have what? Boundaries. Say boundaries. They have boundaries, but within the boundaries, what do the sheep get to do? They get to be sheep, don't they? They get to be sheep. And every sheep has its place in the flock. It's important to the flock just like every member is important to the body. And so one of the things that I'm trying to get out of is so that I don't have to be all the time bringing people into a place where I set you here and set you there and do this with you. And because you want to know why, I miss it. I might put you, you're a beautiful face. I might put you as an elbow. See? I just say, we need an elbow in here and there's nobody filling it. I've got a couple of faces, but I got no elbow. Come over here and be an elbow. Well, you would do your best, wouldn't you? You'd roll up your sleeves over yourself, but you wouldn't be a good elbow. And that's what happens too many times in churches. How many know that? We end up trying to legislate within the body instead of let God set the members in the body as it hath pleased Him. There's a place where you fit. We're here to seek it. We're here to find it. We're here to find out what it's all about. This is not just another message that you can take some notes. You can buy the CD. You can take it home. You can't buy the CD because we're not selling the CDs. We're just giving them away. You can get them offline. You can listen to it over and over again, but it's not a message just so you can say you got it in your library. This is a message to apply. There's truth in it. Amen? Say there's truth. You'll know the truth. Amen? What will the truth do?
Set you free.
Set you free. Amen. And that's what we're looking for, is people set free in the body to do what God placed them in the body to do.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, isn't it going to look different?
Yeah.
Can you imagine how it's going to look? Pastor's not going to appoint ushers and greeters, but the gift of God is going to bring ushers and greeters out of the woodwork. Amen. Much better, don't you think? I'll never forget, and I'm not saying this to be mean, but there used to be an usher in a church that I went to that, I'll tell you what, when you went in, you just didn't feel a bit welcome. In fact, I felt real bad that I always bothered the fella. But he was taking his turn in the body. I was in another body where someone told one time, he said, you know, it's your turn to be, they called them elders in that church. I happen to believe that most of man-made church government has nothing to do with church government.
Amen.
Board members, all of those things that men call important. You know, some things we do because of our government. You can question whether or not we need to do it or not, but you have a board of directors because we are a non-profit corporation. But I want you to know that I know who those people are that I can trust within the body. And that's the way it ought to be. And it doesn't make any difference if you have a title. In fact, let me say this about titles. I am the pastor. I don't care if you call me Pastor Terry or if you just call me Terry. You could even say, hey, you, if you want to. As long as you realize when I'm working in that anointing as pastor, you can only draw off it if you see me as that part of the body. And conversely, I can only receive from you as if I begin to see you as part of the body. And I can draw from you. I can receive from you. But we all have a part. Now, what is the overall function of a church? Is it to set up a nice place where people come and sit and have services? Is that the overall function of a church? What is it?
Discipleship.
To grow in grace and to reproduce. To reproduce. Our whole job, the whole reason for this is for what we do when we leave here. Because as the sign says on the outside door, you look at it when you go out, if you're paying attention, it says the service begins here. You've been to a service, but the service begins on the outside. Amen? We're all valuable. We're all important. But this is not something that you can just hear and lay it aside. This is something you're going to have to apply in your life. If we don't know where we fit, say that. Say, if I don't know where I fit, I'm going to find it. How many of you believe that God wants you to find it? How many think that God would set us in the body and then just say, well, I'll just leave them and see what they turn out to be? No. It didn't happen by accident. You see, all of us have a place. All of us have a place. And the bottom part of that, in fact, if you read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where it talks about are all prophets, are all apostles, all prophets, do all speak with tongues, that's talking about ministries in the body. That's not talking about could somebody prophesy or could somebody speak in tongues. Yeah, all can prophesy and all can speak in tongues as the Lord gives it. But in the body sense, some have particular prophetic ministry. Some have a ministry of tongues and interpretation. If you've seen it operate, you won't have any problem with figuring out what it's all about. You've seen it. You know some people function that way. But you know, there's one thing that God didn't say are all. He didn't say are all helps. Because the fact is, are all are helps. That's what a pastor is here for. I'm here to help you. Amen. My job is to help. So what's the job of the apostle? It's to help. How about the prophet? Sometimes it doesn't seem like it, but it's to help. Because prophets sometimes can get a little on the finger pointing side, can't they? They see things straight. They see things black and white. But you know, that's all right. We need them. But it's not all apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. It's all of a myriad of things that spread out. All are helps. In fact, read them. What's it say up there? Every saint a minister. How many saints have I got with me today? Y'all ought to be sticking your hand as high in the air and you can say, glory to God, I'm a saint of Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm a sanctified one. I'm called out, called to be a saint. That's me. Hallelujah. Praise God. You're saints. And you're called to minister. And minister means serve. Servant. Service. In my office, the kids made it for me because I said, you know, I need this. It says servant of all. That's over my desk. Servant of all. I want to remember that. I want to remember what a pastor's supposed to be. Supposed to be a servant. Have you ever been someplace where you see a minister come walking in and it looks like royalty's coming to the throne? I don't need that. I don't want that. You know, you get to believe in things about yourself. You set yourself on a throne and God will put you on a shelf. Amen? I don't want to be on a shelf. I know who I am. That's why I stand back there during the middle of praise and worship. I like to be part of the congregation that's praising and worshiping God. We have a place. Who has a place? Well, you know, some people think, well, if, and this is what we've got to get over, see, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. We call that the five-fold ministry, but that's not all of it. In fact, the Bible says they're sent to complete the work of perfecting the church for the work of the ministry. Until we all, say all, till we all come in the unity of the faith, the full knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We all have a part. Everybody. In fact, I want to say this to you, see if you can get it. Everybody that's ever been born has a place in the body of Christ. You say, but some of them are going to hell. Doesn't make any difference. God called them. He's not willing that any should perish. God's plan was that all would. Now they don't get set into the body until they receive Jesus. Amen. But every man. Say every man.
Every man.
1 Corinthians 7:7, you don't have to turn to him, just listen to these. But every man hath his proper gift of God, one after this manner and another after that. Ephesians 4:7, but unto everyone is given grace. Who is given grace? Everyone, according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Romans 12:3, think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now we know as we go ahead and read on in 12 that it speaks of some different ministries. Prophecy, ministry, teaching, exhortation, giving, ruling, and he that showeth mercy. Mercy gifts. Now those are called by some the motivational gifts of God. They're your motivation. They're what drives you on. I believe everybody fits in one of those. I believe everyone has a place in that. But all of them are a ministry of helps. All of us are a ministry of helps. I know it seems like we repeat a lot of things around here. How many of you know that repetition is one of the best methods of learning? Repetition. Faith cometh by
hearing.
Remember what Bob said? Faith does not come by having heard. When you get to that place where you said, oh, I heard that before, you're in trouble. You ought to be repeating all of the promises of God that come to you as often as they come to you. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
That's how I maintain my healing. He took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses. He took my sin in His own body on the tree. I'm dead to sin and alive to Christ Jesus. Boy, I've got a new word there. Alive to God unto righteousness, and by His I was healed.
Amen.
He is the Lord, Yahweh, who healeth me. This group back here in the back been studying Hebrew. I don't know, how many of you have been studying? Just this group over here? So just the three of you have been studying it, huh? Well, you're doing good. Doing good. And I'm so proud to hear about it. We're going to start a class here pretty soon again to get it going again. Sandy, I think, is going to teach it because she's... No, she's not. Well, maybe she'll help me teach it. Sandy's good. I'll tell you what. She's just like I am, though. She's probably rusty unless she's been doing more than I've been doing. But you know, God is God, and what He's done for us is complete. It's complete. It's complete. Repetition. Not enough just to know something in your mind. Things have to get down into your spirit. You know that? How many can tell me of a time when you'd heard something over and over and over again and all of a sudden it hit your spirit? What it's like. How many of you can remember? Boom, you know. It's just like you never heard it before. I had a good friend that went off to Rhema. And he came back and he told me, he says, you know, Brother Hagin, he teaches classes there, and he said he tells the same stories over and over and over and over and over again. And if any of you have ever listened to Brother Hagin's ministry, you know he did that. A lot of his stories I know, I can tell them just like he did. I never went to his school. I just listened to his tapes and read his books. But you know what? And this is what we've said all along. He said, I'd be sitting in class one day and Brother Hagin would go off on one of his stories and I'd say, aha, I've heard that one before. And he said, all of the sudden, he said, it was just like a sword. It sliced through my spirit. And he said, that's why he keeps telling this. He said, I've got it. Praise God, that's what we want. We want to get it down in our spirit. If you're full of revelation, guess what happens? You're going to show it. If you know who you are in the body, you're going to show it. Amen. In fact, let me say something about that. There've been a lot of people that think it's important to be something. And so, you know, whether they know for sure, they just start calling themselves something. Well, after all, I'm this and I'm that. And I'm a prophet. Well, you see, what happens with that is people spend most of their time trying to convince people of what they are. You ever seen that, where people do that? We had a whole passel of people came through here for a while. All of them were prophets, and most of them were from Rhema. And Rhema's a great school. Well, Brother Hagin was a prophet. And so people would see him, like his gift, enjoy his gift. And so what would happen, they would start acting out on his gift. They would start calling themselves that. But you know, the story's been told, and some of you probably heard it, about the little fig tree. Did you ever hear about the little fig tree? Just a little fig tree. With a little small fig tree. And when a fig tree's small, it's just another bush. But this little fig tree would sit there and other trees would look at it and say, you're just an old scraggly bush. You say, no, I'm a fig tree. No, you're just a bush. No, really, I'm a fig tree. No, we just think you're worthless little bush. Well, you know what happened? We waited through the winter. And when the spring came, guess what? I said, guess what?
What?
What happened? Tell me. He started to put on figs, didn't he? He started to put on fruit. And then he didn't have to convince anybody anymore, did he? You start producing fruit. You start producing the fruit that's in your gift. Nobody's going to have to ask you about what you are. And guess what? You're not going to have to be defensive about what you are. Male, female, listen to me. There's a lot of people now that want to keep the females out of any ministry. We don't do that around here. We believe just what it said here. We're all in one body. Whether we're Jew or Gentile, bond or free, male or female, doesn't make any difference. We want to be what God called us to be. Doing what God called us to do. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. The place that we have and the grace that is given is God ordained. Now remember, let's say that again. The place that we have, and the grace to accomplish it.
And the grace to accomplish it.
That's all God ordained. Amen?
God ordained.
Amen. Now let's read it for a second here out of Ephesians chapter 2 and see what it has to talk about grace. We learned something very important about grace in Ephesians 2 verse 4. Says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye, you are saved. Sixth verse. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come, say in the ages to come.
In the ages to come.
That's where we are right now in these ages that are coming. We're involved in that. In the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace. Oh, exceeding riches. Remember I said grace is a lot bigger than just unmerited favor? It may be unmerited favor, but it's so big. That just doesn't encompass it. The riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. The exceeding riches of His grace. I've already said it's one of the greatest words in Scripture. Grace will make you what God wants you to be. Everything you ever wanted, be supplied by grace. Everything you ever needed, you can do anything or overcome anything by the grace of God. Do you believe that? It'll teach you everything and add to you what you need to overcome in your life. Every area. Only by the grace of God does this happen. Amen? But we've been selected and empowered by Him. You can't just choose. You can't just decide. How many of you have ever told a young person, maybe somebody's told you this, Torin, you can be anything you want to be. Has anybody ever told you that?
Nope.
Anybody ever tell the rest of you as you were growing up, you can be anything you want to be? Okay, now, don't leave the message here. Let's stay in context. Is that true? No. And we need to stop telling people that. Bo, you can't be anything you want to be. But you can be exactly what God wanted you to be, and you'll be the best one ever.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Isn't that better? I say, isn't that better?
Yes.
How many of you know any doctors that have quit their practice? I do. I know medical doctors, and how many years does that take? They've quit their practice. I know a lot of ministers who have quit their ministry. Do you suppose maybe there was a problem in the first place? We hear a lot of talk. In fact, if you get, we used to, not so much recently, but I used to get a lot of stuff on pastor burnout. Well, I like the burning part. The out part, I don't care much for. I like to see my pastor burning. Amen? I want him to be on fire, but I want everybody else on fire too. I believe y'all supposed to be burning. In fact, I believe if you get to burning bright enough, the world will come and watch you. Amen? That's a fact, isn't it? You start producing fruit, people will see it. They'll come and ask about it. They'll come and find out about it. So let's not tell our children you can be anything you want to be. That's a lie. Now, I know that people are well-meaning when they do that. When I say you can't be anything you want to be, actually, I'm putting you into a better spot. Because if I say you can be what God has set you to be, and there's nothing better than that, who would want anything more? Who would want anything more than that? Praise God. Let's go to verse 8 of Ephesians 2. I just finished reading verse 7, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. For by grace are you saved, through faith. And that's not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, let me ask you, you remember where it says, is the gift of God? Say that out loud. Say, it is the gift of God. Say it again. It is the gift of God. What is the gift of God?
Grace
is the gift of God. Grace is the gift of God. So is faith. But faith comes by hearing. Grace doesn't come by hearing. Grace is the gift of God. It's what God put in you. He put in each one of you. He has a specific gift and a specific grace, sometimes many gifts and many graces that He puts into us to make us the part of the body that He wants us to be, that He's chosen for us. That perfect part, that part that we're determining, where do we fit? Some of you know partly, but you need to have it sharpened, right? Some of you need some sharpening in this. For by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourself. It's the gift of God. Grace is a gift. Last week we went through the whole lesson that was every man has grace. This week we want you to get it's God's gift. You can't do anything to earn it. That's what we say about salvation. You can't do a thing to earn it. But it's the gift of God, but it doesn't stop there. It's the gift to do something. Oh yeah, I got you saved. Amen. Through faith, that's how you got saved. But read verse 10 with me. For we are His workmanship. God's got us set in the body and we're His workmanship. What is a workmanship? It's what somebody made, right? What somebody has put together. What somebody has manufactured. What somebody has accomplished. We're His workmanship. And we're created in Messiah Yeshua, Christ Jesus, unto good works, Say good works.
Good works.
Good works won't save us, but how about them? They're good. That's what God set us in the body to do, is good works, just like Jesus, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So we've been set in him, fit into his body, that we might do good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Let me read that to you out of the Amplified. For we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew that we may do those good works which God predestined or planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time that we should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. Why, somebody told me that God didn't put me here to live the good life. What do you believe? I believe God set us here to live a good life, don't you? A good life. But good in his plans and good in his purposes. Prosper? Yeah. Prosper? Yes. More than enough? Absolutely. I believe God set us here to live the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. Now, you got a ministry. But much of ministry takes place outside of a congregational setting, doesn't it? Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. But they're still enabled by the grace that's in you. Praise the Lord. Kim, every time I think about some of the things that are going on in your life, I see that gift, the gifting that God put in you. I don't know how clear it is to you. And, you know, I don't want to call attention to the specifics, but just to tell you that I see it in operation in so many ways. And, you know, there's no pride in this, people. Just because I'm not calling you out doesn't mean that I haven't seen it. But I was just impressed at the gift of God that is in you and how that gift is helping so many people. And most of it doesn't happen here. Now, occasionally, she speaks out here and it helps. But there's a tremendous gifting in you. And you know, for the rest of you, I've seen things going on in you, ways that you can put things together. Some people here are administrative geniuses. And I admire that gift. I tell you, I admire what I see in Kim, what she's able to do and how she's able to be a leader without having to have a tag. You know, a lot of us want to have a tag, don't we? A name tag says what we are. Well, that kind of defeats the purpose, doesn't it? If you're in a body. Amen. We want Jesus. We want Jesus to get all the glory for it. You know what? If y'all listen real good, we're going to get done not very late. Because the Lord has graced me today to move. Amen. Amen. God's gift opens the door for us. See, that's what we don't realize about ministry. You know, sometimes we see people doing some strange things, you know. They think we've got a soapbox mentality. You know what I'm saying? I want to say this carefully because I don't want to demean anyone that does street preaching at all, because there's a place for street preaching. But there's a time the doors are open for us, and there's time that you're just beating your head against a wall to do anything. Have you ever been there? See, I've done a lot of both. Usually when you have an evangelism course, teaching evangelism, the last day of the course, everybody has to go out and knock on doors. You ever done that? Well, the early church went from house to house, but I want you to know something. There's some times that God says do that, and there's other times God says go sit someplace and be still. Go to the coffee shop over here and just sit down and shut up for a while, and let's see what happens. And he'll bring some up to you. Jonathan is powerful in this gift. He probably is known by more people in this town than I am. And it's not because he's a shoplifter. He gets in and out of a lot of businesses when he's in this town. He and his children. I was in a place just the other day, and I was looking at this lady wanted me to do some help her with her computer. It was actually with Cecil and she. They were trying to get some pictures off of the computer. And I looked, and here's a file that says Matthew Kagan's. And I said, Matthew Kagan's? I said, do you know Matthew Kagan's? Oh, yes, I know Matthew Kagan's. It was Karen. Do you know Karen down here at the old Kachina? But anyhow, that's the way people can get things done a lot of times. I was sitting in the post office one night. I worked evening shift. And I was sitting in the post office doing sorting mail. Sorting mail. That's all I was doing. I was just minding my business and sorting mail. And if you've ever done it, why, you know what I'm talking about. You just do this, you know. And you put them, you're supposed to read them before you put them in the slot. But that's what I was doing. And somebody in the group, and there's always little conversations that break out in the group, and this was a group of cases that probably had 12 or 15 people. It was in Boulder. We were all sitting there together, sorting mail. And somebody said something about this planetoid or asteroid that was coming close to Earth. Had an orbit that was coming close to Earth. Now, you know, I talked enough to these people that they knew that I had some knowledge of the Bible. Anyhow, they got to talking about, well, do you suppose it could hit the Earth and this and that? And one of them said to me, well, Terry, what do you think? Do you think it's possible? You know a little bit of, you know the Bible, do you think it could hit the Earth? And I said, well, let's not talk about that. I said, let me just ask you a question. Now, this is just coming up out of me, spontaneous, has to be right out of the mouth of God, because I, you know, I can get as scientific and talk as much about things I don't know anything about as anybody else, right? But I opened my mouth, and when I did, I said, let me ask you, if it should happen to hit this earth, would you be ready for that? For I would say 6 or 7 minutes, I had the entire group. Now, this is not exactly management approved. And yet, God approved it, and so I took my break. For about 7 minutes, I shared the gospel with that whole group. I had the same thing happen on an airplane one time. I began to talk to someone, and he was talking back to me, and he asked me a question. I was sharing, and I looked around, and people in the back seats were leaning forward and listening. Now, I'm not everybody on the plane. I wasn't out in the aisle, but you understand what I'm saying to you. There's a gift. Now, what did I tell you my gift was last week? I talk. I communicate. And God gifted me in that. I told you I got in trouble for it. When I was clear back in a one-room country schoolhouse, I used to be in trouble all the time because I was such a good talker. And some of you have gifts like that, and you say, oh, you know, this is a problem. Well, all it needs to be is channeled. Now, God did have to deal with me about loquaciousness, over-talking. You can over-talk things. Did you know? You know you can answer questions nobody's asking? A lot of preachers are good at that, aren't they? But I've got a gift. I've got a gift, and God gives me opportunities to talk to people. And see, it's not just you. If my ministry was just here in the church, that'd just be one thing. In fact, then I'd kind of go along with these people and say, I'd like to be a pastor so I could get paid for 2 hours work a week, you know. But I know, you know, that my work isn't just here. My work is other places. But part of my work is just because I'm a member of the body, not because I'm a pastor. Amen? Amen? Amen. My job is the same as your job, spiritually and naturally, to help people. To help people. Sometimes we over-spiritualize helping people. When somebody starts talking about helping people, members of the body think, oh, I've got to lay hands on the sick. Well, you may have to lay hands on the sick, but you just may need to talk to someone who is downtrodden. They're sick. Amen? You may need to pull money out of your pocket and hand to somebody. That's a ministry. That's helping someone. Sometimes it's not as spiritual as we think. Sometimes it's just helping somebody out of a jam. but it's still gifts from the body of Christ. That's what we need to look for. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1, he spoke these words by the Holy Spirit. He said, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles." He's a prisoner for the Gentiles. What does that mean? Doesn't mean he was in jail for the Gentiles. It means he had been apprehended into that place. If you have heard of the dispensation, now I want you to stop for a second and don't get theological on me when I say the word dispensation. One of the most maligned words alongside of grace in the Bible is dispensation. People have taken that word and made something out of it was never meant to be. And so that's the reason we ended up with replacement theology. People started talking dispensation and they said that the church replaced the Jews. That's a lie. But the word dispensation, how many of you are smart enough to read English? Just read English. Take the word apart for me and tell me what the word dispensation means. What?
To distribute.
To distribute. Distribute. Any of you guys still have razor blades that come out of a razor blade dispenser? No, nobody has those anymore. Well, let's see if we can hit this group. Where would we hit them? Pez dispenser.
Yeah.
You all know about the Pez dispenser? Click and chew, huh? A dispenser. And as long as it's full, it continues to dispense, doesn't it? Well, this is what God's talking about here. I believe, he says, if you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, God is dispensing grace, which is given me to you word. Was God aware, or was Paul aware of the fact that God had put a gift of grace in him? It's right there, isn't it? That's what he's saying. I'm aware. I'm aware that God has done that. Now, it's interesting, if you study that word, dispensation, it's the same word, and get this now, it's the same word that comes out as stewardship. Dispensation and stewardship. How could they fit together that way? Well, let's see how it fits in this verse. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the stewardship of the grace of God, which is given to me, given me to you word. Do you see what he's saying? I have a stewardship. My job, aren't we all stewards? Stewards of the grace of God. My job is toward you Gentiles. That's what he's saying. My job, my place in ministry is toward you. We've made a big theological word out of it, and people get all into all kinds of eschatology and stuff like that when they start talking about it. I believe it's a simple word here. That's one problem with the way things came from the Greek. I'd love to find out. Somebody probably knows, but I'd love to find out if there wasn't really a Hebrew Bible, because I'd like to read it in the Hebrew. I think you might be excited to see how different some of these things would come out. And especially these people that spend their life wrestling about words. But here it is. A household administration to help others. In fact, the key word, the root word in the Greek, oikos, is house. House. To help others. So how many of you think we're supposed to be grace dispensers? Be a grace dispenser. Be a helper. And don't over-spiritualize it. It could be something real simple. Could be supplying a meal for someone. But that could be part of ministry, couldn't it? The Ladies' Aid Society doesn't have to take care of that. You can. Amen? How many of you think it might be better if we did it without a committee? Just let the body take care of it. Praise God. Amen. I know what's happened. We've gotten so traditional that everything has to take place with somebody calling us up and telling us, no, let's get away from that. Let's forget that mentality. You help. You dispense. If God calls you to do it, and you'll know. It's amazing the kinds of things God will say. He'll tell you to do something, and you know that's what you need to be doing. I don't care how simple or menial it may seem. Amen. Say it. I am
discovering
the power of grace in me.
The power of grace in me.
Ephesians 3, if we just go right on, after Ephesians 2:10 says, "For this cause," we read it, that dispensation. Now verse 4, he reads and he says, "Whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of the anointed one and his anointing." He understood that he had a stewardship of grace. Ephesians 3:5, "Which was in other ages, was not made known unto the sons of men, it now is, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ of the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of grace of God given me by the effectual working of its power." Do you see that? The grace is seen by how? By its working. The effective working. Amen? Amen. 2 Corinthians 4 says, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for His sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Is that what the Aaronic blessing is all about? How many of you know the Aaronic blessing? What was it? "Now, Yahweh bless you and keep you. Yahweh make His face shine upon you." What does it say here? "Who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness has shined in our hearts to give light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." A dispensing of grace. But verse 7 says, "But we have this treasure." Say, "This treasure." How many of you can see we're talking about something very valuable? This grace, this treasure. We have this treasure in what? In what? What's an earthen vessel? What is it? Our bodies. Us. In this body. Now, the reason I bring that up is sometimes you look at somebody, somebody comes into your midst and you see them and you say, "Well, you know, I don't see much gifting in that person. I don't see much ability there. I don't see much." Well, the fact is, it's in all of us, but what's that? Yeah. 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 You know better, don't you? That's right. We begin to look for the value in everybody and the gift of God because we're trying to draw out that gift. Because every gift, though it may be in you, how many of you know you got a choice? I say, you got a choice? I was kneeling praying one day. I said, "I love you, Lord." And He said, "Then feed my sheep." And I heard it as loud as if somebody had spoken it in my ear. But you know what? I could have chosen to do something else. Couldn't I? I was a pretty good postal employee. I really was. I was liked by management. I was promoted quickly. My manager asked me one time, "Where do you want to go next?" He was ready to send me up, get me in packages that would get me on up. But you know what? I had a sense of the call of God on the inside of me. I had a sense that God wanted me set in a little town called Grand Lake, Colorado. A little place on the backside of the desert, some people say. My wife being one of them. But you know what? I didn't have to stay here. I could have gone and finished my career in the Postal Service. That could have been fine. I'd have had a fine retirement. But that wasn't what God had planned. God didn't have that planned. He had a plan here for me. It's the gift of God. And it's a treasure. It's a treasure. But I'm carrying this in this vessel. And you might look at this guy and say, "Well, you know, he murders the king's English. Doesn't wear his clothes well. Stumbles when he talks." I don't know if I ever told you the story, but I met Demas Shakarian many years ago. How many of you know Demas? Know who he was? He was the head of the Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship for years. God led him to start it. But he was one of the most non-assuming and least apt to be where he was as far as the outward appearance went. I met him one time. He could barely speak socially. He was Armenian. He sounded like the Godfather. And you kind of wondered about him, you know, and he kind of talked out in a little low voice. But I also saw the man working in the anointing. The gift of God was developed in him. And see, that's where all of us are coming. You know, some of you know, but now we're talking about development. Getting that gift that God has put in you developed. Bob, that gift of teaching is going to come further and further and further. I know there's more. I know there's other things. You probably know other things. But, you know, when I listen to you, I get taught. So I know the gift's there. Amen. There's a gift of teaching. I hear it coming forth. From some of you, I hear things that you just wouldn't know. But you see, here's what we have to agree, that we will find those graces and let them be revealed to us. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, let me ask you this finally. Can you take a place for yourself? Can you just decide where you want to be and start doing it by faith? Well, let's see. I want to be a teacher, so I confess I'm a teacher. I confess in the name of Jesus that I'm a teacher. I'm a teacher. I'm a teacher. I believe I'm a teacher. I'm going to talk teaching all the time. I'm a teacher. Will I do it? No, because there are some things you can't use your faith for. What can you use your faith for? What's inside God's Word or what has already been given. Remember 2 Peter chapter 1. According as God has given, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things, amen, that pertain unto life and godliness. Amen. It's already been given. But you can believe for those things, but you can't believe for other things. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 4, it says, "No man taketh this honor unto himself. He that is called of God, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron." Verse 5 says, "So also Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest, but he that said unto him, he that said unto him, thou art my son, today I have begotten thee." Have I begotten thee? Let me ask again, can you take a place for yourself? Remember what John the Baptist said when they came to him? Came to him in John 3:27. John answered and said, "A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven." Not man assumed. Not man assumed. You can't take something. You can't take somebody's mantle that way, can you? It's got to be set apart for you. All are part of the body, all have a place where we fit, but we must find where we fit. What do you want to be? I want to be what God called me to be. Technically, you want to be what you are already. You want to be what you are already, you just need to develop in it. You need to grow in it. I can tell you the first couple times that I ever preached, where people called me out to actually preach. I tell you what, you know, I always heard that when you preached, you were feeding people. Well, I gave them breakfast, lunch, dinner, and a midnight snack all in one. First time, I preached the whole book, not the whole book, the whole 8th chapter of Romans one night, and I mean to tell you, it was expository. We took it apart. But you know, people can't stand that. But you know, I'm growing. Some of you say, not enough. You're still keeping us longer than we intended to be kept. But I want to tell you something. We grow and we find our place, and that's what we have to do. And it's not about prestige, rather it's stations of work. Amen? It's where God is stationed. Don't worry about your title. Just find your place and produce fruit. Say it with me. I have this treasure in an earthen vessel. Say, I'm living the good life. Amen. You have a treasure. If you could look down inside of you, it would look like jewels. Amen. It would be a treasure. Thank God for the gifts that He's put in us. Just believe it. Believe they're in there. Receive them. Say, Father, thank you. Thank you that you've given me graces. Thank you that you've given us a place in your body. Thank you for showing me where I fit. Use me for your glory. Amen. What happens if it's different than what you've been thinking? Are you willing to make a change? You know, it could happen. Some of you, as we go through this, and this is not the end, you're going to maybe find that what you've been thinking is not what you are. Amen. Jane told me the other day, she had always thought one way, and God began to show her something different, didn't He? Amen. God's going to show you. Stand with me. There was a lady here last week, Pastor and Mrs. Robbins. They sat in the back row there. I didn't know they were pastors until the end. But she gave me this anagram for grace: God's riches and corresponding enablement. G, God's riches and corresponding enablement. Pretty good, isn't it?
Yes.
Pretty good. Amen. Praise God. Father, we bless You. We thank You today that You are showing us and teaching us and guiding us into all truth. You said the Spirit, the Comforter, the One called alongside us to help, the One that You sent into our lives to help us and to minister to us, You said He would teach us all things. Teach us this, we pray. Teach us about grace. Teach us. Help us to understand. Give us revelation in this area. You said He'd guide us into all truth. You said He would show us things to come. Show us our place. Thank You, Father. We thank You for it in the name of Yeshua. Lift your hands with me now and let's receive the blessing of God. Ibareka Adonai v'yishmareka. Yair Adonai panav aleka v'kenecha. Yisa Adonai panav aleka v'yasim lacha shalom. And now may Yahweh bless you and keep you. Yahweh make His face shine upon you, be gracious unto you. Yahweh lift up the light of His countenance upon you and give you shalom in the name of Yeshua. Amen.